raised up, is that pay valid? And yesterday we had a machlokas as to what the reason is that a svina is considered to be tahara. So in the Mishnah we brought a raya from the pasuk derech on the Yabalev Yam. And then we found that there's a sheet of Kananya. The sheet of Kananya was that the svina is tahara because of the fact that it has to be deimel lesak, because it's made out of wood. And if it's not metal kabal berekam, so then it's tahor. The napkamina, one of the important napkaminas we discussed yesterday, was the svinat hayardein, which was a small svina, which is loaded, as Hananya explained, according to the sheet of Hananya, is loaded on the ground, and then it's carried, and it's put onto a trailer, and moved over to the yam, and lowered into the yam. And therefore, we have, because of that pirish, a tumah even on a svina. Now yesterday, the last thing we learned was that according to Rava, it must be that Hananya, if we're going to say that Hananya holds the svina sayardin is tameh, then it would mean that tiltul ayyadei shvorim is also shmei tiltul. Bishlema, in other words, if there's a blanket tyra that is given from the posik of svina b'lev yam on a svina, so then this is a non-issue. But according to Hananya, that he so holds that it's metaltal molagarekam, it's obviously not metaltal al yaday people, it's metaltal by putting it on a trailer and moving it. And in fact, he holds that once a svina is tmeya, will be tmeya even if it's metaltal al yaday shvarim. Where do we see that from? It's not. Shalosh agalotim. There are three types of wagon. One would be made kikatidra. The cathedra is the same word that we have for a cathedral. It's a place where you sit on the stagecoach. A place where you sit that's surrounded as a makom yeshiva. We would call that a coach, a riding coach. So that would be to me a midras because it's meant for a person to be sitting on it. If that person is a zav, so it would be matame the entire agala. If it's made in the tzura of a mita, so then that means that it's basically like a railroad car that is used for filling up. So it's obviously used for transport of various materials. So then it wouldn't be Mitami Midras, because we know in order to be Mitami Midras, we can't have a situation where someone would say, Amod v'nasim alachtenu. And if we need to load it up, we'll tell the tramps to get out of there, but fast. And therefore, it wouldn't be makabel midras, but it's still a kli to be makabel tumah's mace. In other words, makabel a tumah that it can be makabel from an avatumah. But if it's shel avanim, then it's tahora miklum. This doesn't mean that it's made out of avanim, obviously, which is rather a poor way to design a wagon. It means if it's made for transporting avanim, which means that it has a reshet on the bottom, it has a screened bottom, it doesn't have a solid bottom. You see this sometimes also in railroad cars, it's different type of schora. So that small things will fall through it, it becomes like a sieve kind of thing, and the size of the things that it needs to hold, it'll hold. And that's for transporting rocks. So that would be completely tahar, because it's not called a Beit Kibbutz, it has holes in the bottom. On that, Rabbi Yochanan said, V'im yesh ba Beit Kibbutz rimonim, so then it would still be tumas meis. On the other hand, this is how the Rambam learns. On the other hand, Sholosh Teva Shepitcha Mitzita. You're talking about a box as opposed to an agalas. It means it's not meant for transport. So a box that has an opening on its side. So we all often have that with, you know, our shelves, with doors, drawers. So it'll be called a Teva Shepitcha Mitzita. That table would be makabel tumas midras milamala, because just as we know, we often are miyache tables for dual purposes. On the top of the table, you have a changing table for a baby, and underneath you have drawers to keep the baby diapers and so on. So that means that you'll never say amod v'nasa malachteinu, because the malachteinu is in the inside, not on the top. And therefore, that will be makabel even tumas midras. Masha'enkein, if you have the opening on top, so it's a chest, like a hope chest. So then it will not be makabel tumas midras, because it will tell you, excuse me, please get off my box, I need to open it. So that's a mod v'nasim lachtenu. So milamala tmei'a made. tummy maid, meaning any other tumor besides the tumor of midras. But if it's ba'ab midah, Rashi says it's probably an expression based on anshei midot. Anshei midot means something that needs so big that you need to measure it in order to get a grasp of its size. So if it's bab midah, so then it's tahira miklum. Now note that when it came to the agalot, we didn't have this haba'a b'midah tahira miklum. Now how do you explain that? The reason that haba'a b'midah is tahira miklum is obviously because of tubilas zayin. And if it's so large, it won't be metal to molar v'reikam. The only napkamina is that the agala is on wheels and it's meant to be moved. So it's designed for moving with a heavy load in it. So it's clear, if you look at the contrast between the two, that the size is an element only where you'd have to pick it up and drag it. And it isn't made for that purpose. It was made for the purpose, such as the Sfinat HaYarden, the way Chanina ben Akiva was Masvi yesterday, then there'd be no problem. Tana Rabba. Midras kli cheres tahor. It's an interesting idea that a kli cheres bichlal doesn't have too much midras. All of the other kelim we said, you can be time and midras depending on the design. As long as you're not going to say amod menasem malachteinu, you don't have a problem. But when it comes to a kli cheres, there is no midras at all. Rabbi Yosi omer af hasvina, which is a rather vague comment. We don't know exactly what he means, but it means what midras of a svina would be tahor. I mean, I thought a svina is tahor miklum anyway. What's Michael Amar? Well, first of all, what's the relationship of the whole idea of svina and midras? Omer zvid hochi kamar. Clearly, he was responding to an implication. In other words, the Tanakhama was saying that midras klicheres would be tahor, which implies its maga would be tummy, whereas a svina shall cheres. That, if I already want to tell you things which are cheres that would be tahor, I note that I don't mention the svina. So apparently a svina shel cheres would be tmeya. That was the other nafkamina between Hananiah and the Tadakama. That namely, if you hold of oniyabalev yam, so it doesn't matter if it's made out of cheres, even though cheres is not mukash lasak. That's not doing mukash lasak. It has to do with the fact that it's a svina. Mashenkin Chananya Shita was, the only reason that a Svina would be Tahira would be because it has to be Metal to Molagareka. Therefore, if it would be a Klicheres, it would be Tome, because it doesn't need to be Metal to Molagareka. And that was the implication of the Tanakhama, who was saying only the Midras of a Klicheres is Tore, but Lamaisa, a Svina of a Klicheres would be Tome. So apparently he argues with the youth of the Tanakhama of Oniyabalev Yam.
Any size?
Yeah, the size is not an issue at all when it comes to cheres. Whereas Rabbi Yosi Omer, no, af hasvina. Hasvina is also tahira like the Tana Dinan. Same way you said midras kli cheres is tahira. Maskev or Rav Papa? Thank you. Maskev or Rav Papa? I don't understand how you build an explanation built around something that the Tana didn't say. I mean, you're saying af hasvina. Af hasvina what? What is the af hasvina? I mean, you got to be saying that what? That af hasvina is that it's going to be tor for the thing that you're talking about. In other words, it's got to be tor. If you're saying hasvina is tor, it's got to be tor even from maga, no? The Tanakhama wasn't talking about maga. In other words, if you're learning that the implications are what Rabbi Yossi is referring to, the fact that you didn't mention the svina. But the svina, the point is, if you compare it to the Belev Yam, it wouldn't matter that it's magra midras. Tanakam is stressing midras. So what are you throwing in off a svina? I mean, you're talking about something that he wasn't talking about. No, I don't like that shot. I think it means like this. Elamer Fotokikama. It makes more sense to me to read it like this. Tanakhama was saying, midras of a kli cheres is tahor, and the maga is tahor. Now the implication is not lagabi svina shel cheres. The implication is, but what if it would be shel eitz? But if it wouldn't be shel cheres, what would you say then? So then shel eitz, bein midraso, bein magao, would be tamei, but only because it's a kli. In other words, if you're looking for other examples of something that would be tahor, so then what you could mention is the Sfinas HaYarid, and that is the Nafka Mina is between a normal Kli of Cheres and a normal Kli of Eitz. But a Sfinas HaYarid would be in fact tahor and completely, like our Tana. And then it would be a reference to Maga as well, Maga and Mas. Rabbi Yossi and Midrash, I mean. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afa Sfina Tmei'a Kechananya. So I understand that it's the other way around. Rabbi Yossi saying Afa Sfina, meaning Afa Sfina is Tamei, just like any other Kli Eitz. But the bottom line is we've ended up here with a very big chiddush that Midrash Kli Cheres would be Tahar. Why in the world would you say such a thing? Midrash Kli Cheres be Nolan to Tahar. Omar Chizkia, the Omar Krov, the Ish, Asher Yigah b'mishkavo. So here it's talking about now the tomb of a Zav. It says, Ish Asher Yigah b'mishkavo, Yefabes b'gadab, that even the mishkav of a Zav is metame an Adam, so that means the mishkav itself, as opposed to normal tomb of Kalim, where the Kli is not metame an Adam, who touches the Kli, because the Kli can only become a Rishon Latumah from the Av who touches it. Special Gzeres HaKosov, when it comes to mishkavo, mishkavo, the use of the pronoun over here, not ha-mishkav, is mishkavo. So the mishkav of him, all put in one word, which means that the Torah is being makish, the mishkav, to the Zav himself. Makish mishkavo lo. Mahu itle tahara b'mikva. Just like the Zav is something that has tahara b'mikva. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. The Zav doesn't literally have tahara b'mikva, because the Zav has to be tahara in Mayim Chayim, not in a mikvah. And he's different than all of the other tumas. So either it means that he's a person, and a person has tahara b'mikva, or it's just referring in general over here. In other words, there is a mode in which he could achieve tahara through Mayim, which, if applied to a Kli, would be tahara b'mikva. So the mishkava nami is a tahara b'mikva. That would mean that the mishkav azov has to be something that's stored in a mikvah. But since the Torah says that a kli cheres yishav there and does not have tahara b'mikvah, so therefore it's essentially telling you to exclude kli cheres from the comparison of mishkav olo, which means that there's no din of mishkav by cheres. If there's no din of mishkav by cheres, that means takes us out of the entire halachas of midras. Tavei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Another drash. Kimishkav nidata yiyela. The mishkav, there it's talking about kol mishkav asher tishkav alav. There it's the zova, as opposed to the first pasuk. So over there, the pasuk is talking about the sitting down, the zova sitting down on something. Kimishkav nidata yiyela will be kimishkav nidas. So over here too, the Torah is comparing her to her mishkav. Just like he eat la tayra b'mikvah, af mishkav anami eat la tayra b'mikvah, la fukik li cheres, the let li tayra b'mikvah. So we're coming up with a very fascinating halacha, that the whole din of midrash, even though normally we don't say that the tuma on a thing is nogea, the tayra of the thing, here, because of the way that the tayra introduces the din of mishkav, midrash becomes dependent on the ability to have a tayra. And if you can't have a tayra, then there's no tuma. Fascinating. Masiv Rabbi Lo asks on this kviyut, because I mean this kviyut should have application to any place where you have a situation where something won't have tahara b'mikvah. It's not a din in kli cheres. Doesn't say anything about kli cheres. Well, you were saying that the basis of kli cheres is a general rule that if you can't be matayra thing, then you can't be matame when it comes to mitras. I can show that that's not true, says Rabbi Lo. No, we never come to Mei Midras. This is a special chiddush for the din of Midras because of the way the Torah compares the mishkav of the Zav to the Zav proper. But I have a case which is not Cheres, which has the same limitations, that it doesn't have Tahara Mikra, and it can become Tamei Midras. How are you going to explain that? And that is the case of a mefetz. Now, a mefetz is basically a basket weave, just straight, and it's used for lying on. In fact, it was the old time sleeping bag. You unroll the sling, you sleep on it. And the din is that, of course, it's makabel tumas mishkan. A basket weave of reeds.
A mat.
So it says there in the Brice, I guess, that methods be mace is also going to be makabel tumah. Now, normally, something like a methods, which would be a pshute kliyetz, an accident, would not be makabel tumah at all, because a kliyetz has to have a base kibbutz. Nonetheless, a methods, for some reason, it says here, is going to be matami tumas mace, even though it's pshute kliyetz. So we ask, how do we know such a thing? Vedino. Umar pachim kitani, shetahirin bizot, tmein the mace, I'll tell you, says the Brisa, it's a kalvachim. If pachim kitanim, which are so small, they're like little perfume bottles that are made out of terrace, there's no way to be metame that thing with a zot, because they're certainly not made to sit down on. So you can't be metame them with mishkan. You can't be metame them b'mada, because there's no way to touch the inside. How's a zot going to put his hand inside of a perfume bottle? It won't fit. So there's no way that it can be mekabel tumah from a zot. And nonetheless, they're tamei in b'meis. They're certainly going to become tamei b'meis in an ohel, because the tumas mace goes in, so to speak, to the top of the perfume bottle if it's uncovered, and the bottle will become tamei. So if you have a mefetz which is tamei b'zot, why is it tamei b'zot? Because it's included in kol hamishkan, because it's something that you can lie on. So once a
Mapatz.
Yeah, no, it could be. Not. I'm happy to move to Mapatz. I think in the Kahati also it's Mapatz. So, huh? So, okay, we'll move to the modern translation. The Mapatz would be mekabel tumah of midras from a zot, because it's obviously designed for shiva, so it's been called shayish kabbalah, and therefore it should definitely be mekabel tumas meis. So we have over here a klal, which in fact is a very important klal, that anything which is mekabel tumas midras will be mekabel tumas meis, even though on its own, if it wouldn't have been for its capability to be mekabel tumah, it never would have been mekabel tumah from a meis, because it's not included under the kalim, which are themselves listed into tumas meis. There's no base kibbutz.
Tumas meis meaning in the oil or mist?
Well, here it doesn't have to be in oil. In the case we had before, pachim ketanim had to be in the oil. There would be no other way for the mace to get inside.
But if the mace is put on a mat,
you don't need put on. There's no dinner putting on. If it's in an oil mace, if it touches a mace, it doesn't have to be put on.
Don't
even think in those terms. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like any kli in the world, a cup, a knife. There's nothing to do with the mace, personally. But if it touches a mace, it'll be makabel tumah.
Even outside, anyway.
Anywhere. A kli, a normal kli, it's makabel tumah from a sher. It's makabel tumah from a mace. Correct? You're stumbling onto a very important misunderstanding of the Gemara, which actually Rashi addresses at length. He says there's some people who make the mistake of thinking that the makers we had before, the very strange Lashon, if you remember back at Daf Nun Tes, we had the story of Amod v'nasa malachtenu by Meis. So she said, because of that, people misunderstand. They think a kli needs to be miyuchet for a mace, in order to be mekabel tumas mace. Whereas, of course, over there, the din of amod v'nasa malachtenu only had to do with the halach of shmiras kelim, that they need to be me'im malachtam harishayna. It's nothing to do with this idea of amod v'nasa malachtenu. There, it's amod v'nasa malachtenu harishana, just to be defining what type of kli it is. So don't make that error. We don't care what type of kli it is. The point is, once it's a kli that's roi for kabbalas tumah of a zav, it'll be makabel tuma in general, is what we mean. If it wouldn't be makabel the tuma mishkav azov, then it has to fit the other criteria. Does it have a base kibble or not? If it's a kli eight. Now, according to you, who claim that the reason that a kli keres will not be makabel tuma of midras is because of the comparison of mishkav olam. So that means because it doesn't have tarav mikveh, then it will also not be makabel tuma as midras. So this whole thing is a mistake. Because, and here we have a big machlokas. Because what? Rashi learns because pshutei kliyos don't have tarav mikveh. They don't have, in other words, since they're not included in the list of kelim, the guy bistam kabal has to. So then they're not included in the list of kelim that are mitzarim in a mikveh. So basically, what you would be doing is saying that a mapatz is tamei, but it can't become tamei. So then you could say the same thing by cheres. The cheres is tamei, the mishkeh can't become tamei. Well, what's the difference between them? So you see that your reasoning is wrong. We don't have a general klal that something that can't become tahar, like the Zav himself, can also not be a makabel to Tumas Mishkeh Vazav.
Once it becomes tahar, it has to be moved.
No, it can be used as much as you want. There's no issur in using tahar, unless you want to have to eat truma or something like that. But generally speaking, it just means it can't be makabel. Remember, we're not talking about Kalim of Kachim over here. Not talking like in the base of Mikdash, it's Kli Keres Yishaver. If you have a Kli Keres, it doesn't need Shvir. Only when you take it in and you make a Kli Keres Kedesh and you use it for Kachim, then it requires Shvir. But it means that there'd be no way to use it for something that has to be taught. Omale Rebbe Chanina.
What would be the other reason you couldn't put it into the mix? Should Rashi
have? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Tosfos disagrees. There's no reason to say that Pshutei Kliyos won't be Matayr in the Mikvah. He learns that the Mapatz that we're talking over here is Gumi, reed, and not eights. So therefore, even though on the one hand, in terms of the Kabbalah's Tuma of Midrasais, Gumi would be included under eights, but in the Parsha of the Tyrus Kelim by Kli Midyan, we don't find the concept of Gumi before. And therefore, there wouldn't be Makabel to Tyra in a mikvah for a completely different reason. Comes along Rabbi Chanina, and he says, well, that's a beautiful point. The only thing is, it's not such a telling point, because by cheres, it's the entire set of kli cheres that will not be in the kabbal tuma. Here, it's an accident of design. It's not that a kli eight is not in the kabbal tyra. Cheres is not in the kabbal tyra at all. Kli cheres yishaver has absolutely nothing to do with it. You're telling me that nothing that's made out of wood is makabel tyra b'mikvah? This particular kli, the way it's designed, without a base kibbul, will not be makabel tyra b'mikvah. So since its min has tyra b'mikvah, that's not a violation of the mishkav olam comparison to the tyra made. Look, I mean, you were willing to say by the zav, the zav obviously tyra b'mikvah. You didn't mean literally tyra b'mikvah. I mean, a person has a tyra b'mikvah. A zav doesn't have a tyra b'mikvah. Okay, I mean, so that's the idea. If in general this type of thing has a tire of a mikvah, wood has a tire of a mikvah, cheres doesn't have a tire of a mikvah. That's the point. So hayo v'ika b'minai, since its type of thing is tire of a mikvah, that is sufficient to allow us to apply the din of the hekesh of the mishka blow. Omar Lezreb said, oh, God help us, insanity. Absolutely, Meshuggah. Did you ever see a madman like this? What kind of thing is this? The Torah is saying it's comparing the Mishkav Lo. And you're saying, well, is it comparing the Mishkav Lo? Meaning in a general sense, not in a particular sense. Where would you come up saying things like that? Just to make it convenient that this price now should work out with your preconceived notions. So he says, Adarabah, Rachmana Litzlami Daita Didach. It's you that we need saving from. The time am I, because you don't know what you're talking about. If you analyze the pasuk over there, you'll see that there's really two psukim. I'm not just pulling this out of my belly. There's two different psukim in the comparison, in the dinim of Mishkav. One which does compare the Mishkav to the Zav, and one which does not compare the Mishkav to the Zav. Now, how do you explain that, dear sir? Because it does say the ish asher yigab mishkavo, which you very properly pointed out before, that there's a comparison of mishkav. Lo, that's mishkavo. How about this pasuk? V'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav azav, where there's no indication. On the contrary, it's kol ha-mishkav, even a mishkav, which is not compared lo. What are you going to say? I'll tell you what to say. Okay, Tzad. What the Torah is coming along to teach you is that there are indeed two separate things you need to take into consideration. That if you have b'mino, yesh b'mino, afagav delet lei tayra b'mikva, that's one case. And over there, you have enochinami, that's considered to be makabel tuma from Azov in his mishka. Whereas you have ein b'mino, if this bechlal, the entire set, such as by Kricheres, there indeed, makish mishka balo, you have no choice but to say my das. Don't you understand? If on the one hand the Torah is saying you need to have a comparison of the mishka to the zav, and on the other hand it says, well, it doesn't really matter. So how are you going to explain that? There's only one explanation. It doesn't really matter in the particular case, and it very much matters in the general case. That's the point. So when it comes to Klicheres, indeed we have to exclude Midrash on Klicheres, and when it comes to Pshute Kliyetz, or according to Tarsus Gomi, so then we don't have to exclude it, because then it's just an accident of birth, so to speak. Rava says, your analysis would be beautiful, except that that's not the mocker. I mean, the mocker of the Tyra of Midrash from Klicheres is from the following, and not from your drasha. Me'och. V'chol kli pasua, asher ein samid pasil Allah. So what is that telling you? That if you have a kli cheres in an oil hameis that isn't sealed completely, it becomes tomei in the oil hameis. How about if, oh yes, samid pasil Allah? So it's telling you in the pasuk very clearly that a samid pasil is going to keep that kli cheres tar in an oil hameis. There's only one problem. How about if that kli cheres, which is covered with this tzamid pasil, also serves as a seat? Seat.
To sit on.
Right? Such things happen very often. You could have, for instance, a chamber pot, in which the top of the chamber pot is a seat. Very often you have these in bathrooms where your laundry basket is a seat. Okay, so your chamber pot is made out of cheres. You now have a top on it, which doubles as a place to sit down on. And now, there's a mace in the bias. What's going to be the din? So has it tzamid pasil alav? You're saying it's tar. There's only one problem. A kli, or anything for that matter, which is makabel tuma, cannot be chayitzeh, it's mitnei tuma. That's a general rule. The Torah is saying over here, that if it has something on it, it prevents the tumma from coming into it. How can it prevent the tumma from coming into it? It's going to be a kabel tumma because it's midrash. So what about the midrash issue? Forget about the, you're right, when it comes to a kli cheres cannot be a kabel tumma from its top. But if it was a kli that's a kabel midrash, it has nothing to do with its top or its inside. It just has to do with the fact that somebody sat on it. That's not a din in inside or outside.
In case you just have to tell you to get off, I want to use a chamber pot.
No, not if it's miyuchet for yeshiva as well.
As well.
Okay. Yeah. I won't tell you that. So therefore, even though milo askina diagdino lishtonida, I mean, how about in a case where this was miyuchet that a person, a woman who's a nida, is allowed to sit on it in the house and it's meant to double as a seat? How about over there? And nonetheless, the Torah is telling us it's tar. Now, it wouldn't be tar if it was shaykh to be makabel to the midrash. So it's clear from the whole din of kli cheres, in which we know that a kli cheres is makabel tuma in an oil hameis only in a case where ain't tzamid pasil alav, must be behechrach, that there is no din of midrash by kli cheres. It's taking it for granted that no matter what kind of tuma it was miyuchad for, no matter what kind of use it was miyuchad for, it's going to be tar. Exactly. We're all agreed to that. I mean, that's how we started. That there's no din of midrash on kli cheres. The question is, how do we know it? So do we know it from the comparison of Mishkavo Lo? And that led us into all of the problems of the Matz. Or do we know it because of the din of Tzamit Basiyom?
So that is the Mishnah.
The next drasha that we're bringing in this parak of drashas, minayin la'aruga, shehi shisha shisha shetvachim, shezorim betolcha chamisha zeronim, arba l'arba ruchot ha'aruga b'chat b'emza. I'll bet you were always wondering about that. Where do we know? Where do we know that in a square of six tefachim by six tefachim, you can fit in five different types of plants, which would be kilayim normally with each other? Now, what this is based on is the yesod that kilayim is dependent on irvuvia. And there's two important nekudas in kilayim. Does it grow b'irvuvia? If it looks like it's planted randomly, then the second criteria clicks in. Is it in fact a case in which two different species are mixing the ground from which they're being nourished from? That's called yinika. Where are they drawing the nourishment from? So if you have no sense at all of its growing birvufia, it's clearly visibly separated, we don't even care if it's in contact from where it's being nourished from. Because then it's not kilayim by definition. It's clearly kept separate. But where we don't see them clearly kept separate, there the Torah is makpid that they shouldn't indeed be mixing in the makom in which they're nourished from. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that in a case where you have a square, it's possible to design the square in such a way, to design your planting in the square in such a way that you could fit in five different zroi. Now, on the surface, this doesn't seem that reasonable, because since the shear of yinika is 1.5 tefachim, that would mean that boils down to keeping 3 tefachim between each thing, because otherwise you have an overlap of the yinika. So there'd be no way that you could have 3 lines here, essentially we have the middle and the two ends, in 6 tefachim, because then you don't have 3 tefachim between each thing. How exactly would we be doing this? But actually what it's based on is the design, is Rashi's pshat. We'll be seeing throughout the Gemara various issues that this design brings up. But the design over here is to have 4 different types of growths around the edge, which are separated only at the place where they meet. So there's a blank spot. If you take a look at that little bit small, there's a blank spot in each of the corners. Now that creates a very clear graphic visual impact of a separation between all of the different types. Imagine if each one was a different color as well, a different species, and you can see that it's a different thing growing. Each one is growing on its own. So then, even though they're right up close to each other in the corner there, certainly not a tefach and a half apart, they're planted one next to the other at the edge, doesn't matter, because I can graphically discern that they're not meant to be growing together. The middle, which would l'chora have to be a dot, even though it's not graphically defined, but it's far enough away, and we're going to get into the, well, how is it far enough away? I mean, what are we talking about? But Rashi's talking about a single kelach, one seed in the middle, which would be, theoretically, 1.5 tefachim from either side, from all sides. You have to be marking it from every different meaning. So then that 1.5, meaning each one 1.5, 1.5 from a total of 3 between them. The hypotenuse is not an issue here, because it has to be maruchik from the edges that are closest to it. Okay.
So what's the minimum that's required?
1.5 from each side, which is 3 of 2 different meanings next to each other.
Is the element here that?
There's 2 elements. One element is the graphic design of the edge, which allows them to be up close to each other, even though they're still being yonek. And the other is the distance between the middle dot and the side points all around.
But if it's six, then it's all space.
Correct. All this we're going to talk about. But anyway, I'm sure you're always wondering, so how do we always know that? So we know that from the pasuk shenemar ki ka'aretz totzi tzimcha uchigana zeru eha tatzmiach. I was going to say, where do we know that? But it doesn't say over here zar'ah, it says zeru'eha. Zar'ah lo nemar ela zeru'eha. I'm sure that really clarifies it. So my mash asks the Gemara, what in the world, where do we see this in this pasuk? Omer of Yudana, it means that each one of these lashonos, it would be motzi, a pri, has to be looked at separately. See, ka'aretz totsi tzimcha. So totsi, if you would have said ka'aretz totsi, I understand that. Automatically it means if the land is motzi, it's motzi a growth. So totsi is chat. Tzimcha is another chat. So now you have tree. Zeru era, as the Rishon explains, doesn't say zarat, it's a zeru era. Has to be a minimum of two. So that's hari arba. And then it says tatzmiach. Tatzmiach is another one. And that adds up to five. Now, how do you know that that five can be within six? Ah, that's something else. The kimlo the rabbanan the chamisha b'shita lo yantke mi'adad. The rabbanan have experimentally determined that the shiur of yanika would allow for you to have one in the middle of this the diagram. And therefore, it would be okay. Oh, that's all very nice. I mean, you bring me a pasuk, but what you really mean is that the Chachamim had a preconception, and they're fitting the pasuk into the preconception. What kind of drasha is that? I mean, all in the other kimul rabbanim milsehi. Who says it just because the rabbanim think that's the way it is? Therefore, it's meaningful. So how do you know that's nogea, that you're bringing a pasuk to say, and therefore, since we fit this into what's given by the Rabbanan, I guess that we'll find out tomorrow. Sure. Okay, so